one of the habits I've started developing this season in COVID-19 pandemic is sanitizing my hands well. And my wife Diane made sure of that. Alam niya kapag ako'y aalis, pababauna na niya ako ng mga wipes para mapunasan ko daw lahat ng mga gagamitin kong upuan at saka lamesa sa mall or sa coffee shop. Tapos i-refill niya ang aking alcohol spray gun para lagi akong may alcohol na ready na gamitin anytime. And within the day, pag alam niyang nasa labas ako, she will definitely message me asking me if ginagamit ko yung alcohol. At pag uwi namin sa bahay, hindi ko siya nagsasawa na paalalahanan ako na kailangan ko maghugas ng kamay. Praising God for a loving and caring wife. But in the new norm that we're in right now, these and other precautionaries are necessary in order to fight the deadly contamination that this virus does to our respiratory system. If not careful, this virus can contaminate our lungs that may lead to our deaths. But friends, there is a much deadly contamination that many of us know of. One that cannot be eliminated by simple sanitary solutions. It has contaminated the hearts of every human being throughout time since the fall till now. And if not cleansed, can lead to a much worse type of death, one that will last for eternity. And the problem is called sin, and it is embedded in our hearts. We are continuing our sermon series in the Gospel according to Mark, at ngayong araw na ito, aaralin natin how Jesus exposed the real heart issue of uncleanliness to the religious leaders. The heart of our problem is the problem of our hearts. Our hearts are unclean. Only Jesus can make us clean. The heart of our problem is the problem of our hearts. Our hearts are unclean. Only Jesus can make us clean. We have divided our passage into 3 points. Number one, the controversial question on defilement, verses 1 to 5. Number two, the commandments of God deserted, verses 6 to 13. And number three, the core issue of man's defilement, verses 14 to 23. Let's jump into our point number one, the controversial question on defilement. Let's look at verse 1. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him, with some of the scribes who had come to Jerusalem, nahintupo muna tayo dyan. Ang mga miraculous works and powerful words ni Jesus that impacted many had caused his popularity sa buong Jewish community. At ganun din po sa ibang parts ng Gentile region, which is yun po ang titingnan po natin next week. Kaya na lamang siya ay dinayo ng mga scribes or experts of the law na nanggagaling sa Jerusalem at ganun din po ng mga Pharisees upang imbestigahan. Now, hindi ito yung unang inkwentro ni Jesus sa mga Pharisees at saka sa mga scribes. Una yung Pharisees, chapter 2, verse 13. The Pharisees questioned Jesus why he was eating with sinners and tax collectors. So chapter 3, verse 6, ang mga Pharisees planned his assassination with the Herodians kasi nga, nagpagaling si Jesus on a Sabbath day. Pagdating naman po sa mga scribes sa chapter 1 verse 22, nagpantig ang kanilang mga tenga nung binanggit ng mga taong bayan na mas may otoridad daw si Jesus magturo kesa sa mga scribes. At sa chapter 3 verse 22 naman, tinawag ng scribes si Jesus na Beelzebub, na kung saan ang ibig sabihin, no, ruler ng mga demons. So hindi po ito yung unang inkwentro ni Jesus sa mga religious leaders. As a matter of fact, mainit na po ang tingin kay Jesus ng mga religious leaders na ito. Kaya dinayon nila ng mga scribes sa Capernaum at ganoon din ang mga Pharisees si Jesus upang maghanap ng butas para maakusahan siya. At ayun na po ngayon binabalak nilang gawin. Tingnan niyo po yung verses 2 to 4. They saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is unwashed. Nahinto ulit muna tayo dyan. Naaral ang mga naalarma ang mga Pharisees nung nakita nila ang mga disciples ni Jesus na kumakain with defiled hands, or yung tinatawag na yung kamay nila ay unclean, or hindi kasi sila naghugas. So that was considered as unclean hands dahil nga hindi sila naghugas. Now, sa panahon po natin ito ngayon, maunawaan po natin siguro na ang reaksyon ng mga Pharisees at saka scribes kapag napansin natin ang kaibigan o mahal natin sa buhay ay hindi naghugas ng kamay, eh malamang maaalarma rin po tayo at marahil siguro sinita na natin sila. So, kung yun ang, ito nandito mga Pharisees at yun ang kanilang gawa, that made totally sense. Total sense. Ngunit ang pagkaalarma ng mga Pharisees sa pagkain ng mga disciples with unclean hands or defiled hands ay hindi po dahil sa sanitary or hygienic reasons, kundi sa ceremonial reasons. Kasi Mark, for the benefit ng kanyang Roman Christian readers na hindi pamilyar sa mga Jewish customs at saka tradition, made an extended editorial comment explaining kung anong ibig sabihin ng mga ito. Let's read verses 3 to 4. "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches." Mark here explained na ang ceremonial washing ay isang regulasyon na dapat sundin ng lahat ng mga Pharisees at sa mga Jewish community. It is part of the tradition of the elders. Now, napakahalaga na maunawaan natin na wala pong nilalabag na batas ng Diyos ang mga disciples si Jesus Christ dito. As Mark mentioned, ito ay mga tradition ng elders. Bahagi ito na napakadaming oral traditions na several times na interpret ng mga scribes over the years and have passed on from one generation to another. Okay? Later on, ay isinulat at sinummarize ang mga ito na tinatawag na Mishnah at nabuo po ito noong AD 200. Ang oral tradition daw serves as a fence around the Torah para maprotektahan at ma-preserve ang integridad nito. Halimbawa po, kung hindi malinaw o tahimik ang Torah sa specific issue or situation, dyan ho pumapasok ang oral law or tradition na pwedeng magbigay ng specific way o application kung paano ito masakatuparan. Dalawa po ang problema na naidudulot ng ganitong klaseng tradisyon. Unang-una, nagiging pabigat po ito sa buong tao. Dahil wala po nakakasunod nito, including yung mga Pharisees. Ikalawa, mas nabibigyan ng halaga ang pagsunod ng tradisyon kaysa mismo sa commandments ng Diyos. So, hindi pagsunod ng ceremonial washing at paglinis ng mga kubiertos na nabanggit sa verse 4 ay hindi lamang paglabag sa tradisyon ng mga elders, kung hindi ito ay nangangahulugan na sila ay unclean o marumi daw sa harapan ng Diyos. Kaya ganun na lang ang pag-akusa ng mga religious leaders kay Jesus. Tingnan niyo po sa verse 5. "And the Pharisees and scribes ask him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?'" Kita niyo ba kung gaano ka-concern ang mga religious leaders sa pag-observe ng kanilang mga tradisyon? They were concerned kung sino lang ang dapat makakasama sa hapagkainan. They were concerned about fasting, about kosher foods. They were concerned sa strictness sa pagsunod ng mga Sabbath rules. Strict sa rules ng ceremonial cleansing, which is yung nakikita natin ngayon. And so, ang nagiging basihan sa paghusga kung ang isang individual ay lumalakad ng tama o hindi tama sa harapan ng Diyos ay ang pagsunod niya sa lahat ng mga tradisyon na kanilang pinataw. And so, this passage helps us understand kung ano ang itsura ng nagagawa ng legalism or moralism sa ating pananampalataya. It changes our focus or our concern sa mga bagay na mahalaga. Friends, Are you concerned with the behavior of others than the spiritual condition of your own heart? Mga magulang, ikaw ba ang parent na madalas magsabi sa iyong mga anak pag nagkamali? Noong kaedad kita, hinding-hindi ko masasabi yan, hinding-hindi ko magagawa yan, hindi ko man maiisip yan. Bakit ganyan ang pinapakita mo? Mga magulang, bakit hindi? Bakit hindi natin magagawa yan? Bakit di natin maiisip? Bakit di natin masasabi yan? Samantalang tayo rin ay mga makakasalanan. Wives and even husbands, mas concern o nakafocus ba tayo sa mga maling inaasal o sinasabi o kinikilos ng ating mga asawa kesa sa mga nakakapinsala mong pananalita o inaasal o kinikilos? Are you more convicted for your spouse than you are convicted for yourself? Mas naiirita ka ba sa mga kahinaan, kapalpakan, o kasalanan ng inyong asawa, anak, kapatid, kaibigan, katrabaho, kasama sa flat, kesa madurog ang iyong puso sa mga nagawa at patuloy mong ginagawa na kasalanan? Madalas mo bang ikumpara ang iyong sarili sa ibang tao, sa ibang Kristiyano? Madalas mo bang tinututukan ang kanilang kasalanan, kahinaan, kapalpakan at ginagawa itong panukat sa iyong espiritual na kalagayan? O para mahimasmasan ka at masasabi siguro mas matino akong Kristiyano kaysa sa kanila? O ikaw ba ay namumuhay na may deep awareness na araw-araw is a clear evidence of God's grace at work sa buhay mo, na apart from the shed blood of Jesus, you and I have no hope? Minsan, ang bilis po natin husgahan. Pag binabasa natin itong passage ito, mabilis natin husgahan ang mga religious leaders. Samantalang marami po tayong matututunan sa kanila. Bagamat ang issue sa mga Pharisees dito ay overzeal, ang problema naman ng karamihan natin dito sa Crossroads ay lack of zeal or under zeal. Friends, are you under zeal for the Lord right now? Nakakaramdam ka ba ng espiritual na panlalamig? Sabi sa Romans chapter 12, verses 11 to 13 sa CSB, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Napansin niyo po ba yun? Ang ganda ng verse na yun, ano? The way for us to not lack zeal and keep our spiritual fervor or passion sa Panginoon is by serving the Lord. Of course, we need the rest and we need to rest and rely on the Spirit of the Lord as we continue to go on. Kailangan po natin yan. But one of the means for us to keep our zealousness or passion for the Lord is according to verse 13, is by serving God's people, which is very interesting. Mga kapatid sa Crossroads, ito po ang dahilan kung bakit patuloy natin pinapanalangin na muli tayo makapagtipon-tipon. Hindi lamang kumanta at makapakinig ng sermon ng live, kung hindi to encourage one another para magkaroon tayo ng palakasan upang magpatuloy na lumagablab ang puso natin sa Panginoon at sa bawat isa. That's the reason why we want, ayaw natin to neglect gathering together. It edifies us and it glorifies God the Father. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Sabi dyan, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music within your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. So this was the Pharisees' question kay Jesus. They were accusing him since, yun nga, disciples niya ang mga ito. Tingnan naman natin ang sinagot ni Jesus Christ sa mga Pharisees ato. Let's move to our second point. The commandments of God deserted. Let's look at verse 6 hanggang 8. And he said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold on to the tradition of men. Ang sagot ni Jesus sa mga religious leaders ay simple lang. He quotes Isaiah 29 verse 13. Na kung saan ang sinasabi ay hipokrito kayo. Yun ang sagot ni Jesus Christ sa kanila. You guys are hypocrites. Now, hindi sinasabi ni Jesus na silang Pharisees ang nasa isip ni Isaiah nung sinulat ni Isaiah to or sinabi ni Isaiah to, kundi dahil sa ito'y akma sa kanilang inaasal na tinawag silang hipokrito ni Jesus. Ang word na hypocrite na ginamit ni Jesus is a theatrical term na ang ibig sabihin ay play actors. Ang mga artista sa panahon nito ay nagsusuot ng iba't ibang klaseng maskara para palitan ang kanilang karakter. They were trying to play a role of someone who they are really not. Yun po talagang ibig sabihin ng hypocrite. Trying to be someone you're really not. Tinawag silang hypocrite ni Jesus kasi they were outwardly professing that they are righteous, that they are worshiping God, that they are God worshipers. Ngunit sa puso nila, wala talagang tunay na worship na nagaganap. Dahil mas pinahahalagaan nila lahat ng mga kautusan at tradisyon ng tao. At gustong-gusto nila ang parangal at papuri na sasabihin sa kanila ng mga tao kaysa sa salita ng Diyos. And since they are zealous or passionate about obeying man-made traditions, they place themselves at the center of what they truly worship. And what do they truly worship? The worship of one's self. The Pharisees were publicly showing that they were worshiping God for their own glory. It's amazing. Gustong-gusto nila ipakita sa mga tao na sila ay righteous. They publicly pray out loud. Pag sila ay nagfa-fasting, talagang binabaloktot na kanilang mukha, pinapakita sa tao na talagang nagfa-fasting sila. Kaya galit na galit si Jesus sa kanila eh. Tignan niyo sa Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 to 28. Jesus said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness or wickedness. Friends, do you publicly show that you are worshiping God for your own glory? Let me rephrase that question. Do you publicly share to others that you are a Christian for your own glory? Yung ba ang dahilan kung bakit tayo madalas mag-post ng quotes of scripture, mag-post ng mga libro na ating binabasa? Again, these things are wonderful, but I'm just trying to give a heart check. But what is the real reason why you're doing that every day? Are you trying to say that you love Jesus for your own glory? Ang dahilan ba kung bakit ka naglilingkod sa Panginoon, nagdi-disciple, nagtuturo ng salita ng Diyos, actively caring for your members, being helpful towards others in order to be noticed and praised? Or are you doing all of these upang mapawi yung guilt na nararamdaman mo sa puso dahil sa mga nagawa mong kasalanan? Let me ask this another way. Mapagpanggap ka ba? na alam mo na iba ang pinapakita mo sa panlabas kesa sa tunay na katauhan o kalagayan ng iyong loob o kalagayan mo sa loob. Ang dahilan kaya kung bakit ka mapagpanggap ay dahil may naisin kang magustuhan ng maraming tao na ma-appreciate, makuha ang atensyon at papuri ng iba, na pinipilit mo na maging maganda, mabuti, malinis, matuwid, mabango sa paningin ng karamihan ng tao. Ang tawag po dyan ay kahipokritohan. At mga kaibigan, guilty po tayo lahat dito. At bakit naman pinipilit, laliman pa ho natin, ano, sisirin po natin yung nasa puso natin. At bakit naman na pinipilit natin na maging maganda, mabuti, malinis, matuwid, mabango sa harapan ng mga ibang, sa harapan ng ibang tao? Bakit natin gusto yon? Di kaya ang dahilan ay meron tayong tinatago na ayaw natin matuklasan ng iba? Dahil kapag nalaman ng iba itong tinatago nating ito, ay hindi na tayo magugustuhan, hindi na tayo tatanggapin, hindi na tayo kakailanganin. Kaya mas mabuti na lang na magsinungaling para makuha itong trabaho na ito o para manatili sa trabaho na ito. Na mas mabuti na lang itago ang kasalanan sa mga mahal natin sa buhay, sa ating mga church leaders and pastors, para wala na lang magulo. Para wala na lang malulungkot, para wala na lang magagalit, wala na mapapahiya. Mas mainam na lang na manahimik na lang. Ang mga Pharisees were more concerned about outward appearances than their inward character. Hypocrisy is the failure to practice what you preach. Pretending that we love to worship God from the outside, pero inside are indulging in secret sins. So, pastor, ang sinasabi mo ba kapag hindi ko feel kumanta ng praise song, hindi na ako kakanta? Kapag hindi ko feel magbigay, magbigay generously, o technically magbigay, hindi na ako magbibigay kasi di ba the Lord loves a cheerful giver? Na kung saan na ayoko na hindi ako magbabasa ng Bible, mag-pray, umatend ng church, tumulong sa kapatid, and the list goes on and on and on, kasi hindi ko po feel, ayoko lang maging hypocrite, nagpapakatotoo lang ako, pastor. Yan ang reason bakit wala ako sa church. Yan ang reason bakit wala ako sa Bible study. Kasi nagpakatotoo lang ako dahil hindi ko feel. So parang nagkakasala lang ako pag gano'n ang aking ginagawa. Tama ba yung pastor? Well, tignan natin. So, the question we have is, pastor, what is not a hypocrite? I believe ang lahat na nabanggit ko ngayon lang are good things. They are the right things to do bilang mga Kristiyano and must continue practicing because these are means of God's grace. These spiritual disciplines are means of God's grace for us to mature, for us to edify one another, for us to give God glory. So I encourage you to keep doing them. Hindi po kahipokritohan na gawin ang mga bagay na to if we don't feel like it. Let me say that again. Hindi po kahipokrito na gawin ang mga bagay na ito if we don't feel like it. Kasi these are means of God's grace in order us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. At lahat mga reasons na nabanggit ko ngayon lang. It is not hypocrisy kung patuloy natin gagawin ang mga ito kahit hindi natin feel, but it is a sign of growing maturity. Hindi ho hypocrisy yun kung hindi maturity. Kasi it is quite childish kapag gagawin lang natin ang mga gusto nating gawin when we feel like it at hindi natin gagawin if we don't feel like it. Now that's childish. That's not maturity. A Christian who continues to struggle against sin, fight temptation, and continues to do what is right kahit hirap na siya at hindi niya feel gawin is not hypocrisy. A hypocrite is pretending to be publicly righteous sa harapan ng tao habang may tinatago at inaalaga ang nakasalanan. A person who is living a double life or double standard and doesn't feel convicted by it. That's a hypocrite. Yan ang pinamumuhay ng mga Pharisees sa life ito sa time ni Jesus Christ. At nagbigay si Jesus ng halimbawa nito, so verses 9 to 13. And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or mother whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do." Now, ang Torah, or yung Torah, yung first five books ni Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, paulit-ulit na sinasabi that you must honor your parents. Paulit-ulit po yun. At paano? By financially providing for them, especially pag matanda na, or practically taking care of them if they're aged. So, yun po yung commandment, and this is pleasing sa harapan ng Panginoon if the Israelites do this. Now, may paraan para maabsweltuhan sila sa mga responsibilities na ito, which is amazing. Na kung saan yung pera na dapat nakalaan sa tulong sa kanilang magulang, lalo na pag matatanda na ito, para hindi sila magpatuloy magkaloob o tumulong sa kanilang magulang, ang suggestion ng Pharisees, which is yung tradition ng elders, is this. I-declare mo lang na ito na korban. Once na dineclare mo yung sustento na yon as korban, hindi mo na kailangan suportahan ang iyong magulang financially. Kasi mapupunta na lahat ito sa temple. So yung responsibility of honor and caring practically and financially, ay hindi mo na kailangan gawin kasi dineclare mo na lahat ng mga financial material nisa to as korban. Which means lahat ng ito mapupunta sa temple and will relieve you sa responsibilities. Which is because of the provision ng tradition na ito directly went against yung commandments ng Panginoon. Itong tradition na ito ay direct opposition sa utos ng Diyos. At sabi ni Jesus, isa lang yan sa napakaraming tradisyon na kinamumunghian niya, na patuloy na pinapractice ng mga Pharisees. Now, we need to be careful dito kasi not all traditions ay mali. Sabi ni Paul sa 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2, "Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you." Now, dito po sa Crossroads, tayo po ay nakikinabang sa napakadaming mabubuting tradisyon. We stand on the shoulders of good men of Nicaea, of good men of the Reformation, and all the people na naging part ng church history. So, hindi lahat ng traditions ay masama. So, paano natin malalaman, Pastor, kung ang isang tradisyon ay masama o mabuti? Well, isa lang po ang pwede natin tingnan para masukat po yan. At yan po ay ang salita ng Diyos. Friends, we are to test and judge human reason and traditions in our church through the lenses of God's Word. Everything that we do sa loob ng church should be examined and judged gamit ang salita ng Diyos. Kapag meron halimbawa nagturo sa Bible study natin na para maligtas daw dapat gumawa ng mga kabutihan, gaya ng magtayo ng feeding center, orphanages, at tumulong sa mahihirap. Now, having those things are not bad. In fact, these are good things. Ngunit ko ang dahilan kung bakit natin gagawin ito ay para mapatawad ang ating kasalanan upang mabayaran ating kasalanan o maligtas tayo sa ating kasalanan, then ito ay directly going against sa salita na ng Diyos. We judge human reasons and traditions through the Word of God. But in order to rightly judge human reasons and traditions by God's Word, we must first of all know God's Word. That is why, mga kaibigan, we take every opportunity sa Crossroads to study and feed on God's Word. Excuse me. We must daily read and meditate and memorize God's Word for our own soul. We must continue to, we must try to join yung mga Zoom Bible studies po natin. There are several Bible studies, we call it community groups, that meet within the week. And the passage that is going to be preached on a Friday is yung po yung inaaral nila within the week, so that people will come and listen to God's Word ready. Ready to take in the Word deeply and see practical implications. And after watching yung video sermon, which we provide every Friday morning, we encourage all of you to join our elder-led groups discussions, where we have different schedules ng mga pastors in, who meets different groups in different times in order to discuss yung sermon and to think through how we can apply this in our lives and as a church. Also, we have opened another avenue in studying and learning more about God's Word. Last Sunday, we have started yung first class po natin sa systematic theology, and we're so encouraged to have 55 participants all over the UAE, Qatar, Philippines, UK, who participated po sa class na yon. According sa kay James, ating pastoral assistant, we currently have 77 participants who just registered. Masadagdagan. Now, I know these numbers are encouraging, but what encourages me the most are people who wanted to know more about God. And just as we have talked about systematic theology, the reason why we want to know God more is for us to worship Him more, for us to be awestricken by Him even more and live our lives for Him and for His glory. Jesus is saying that the Word of God is the final authority, final measuring tool para makita, to judge reasons and traditions. Now, after answering the Pharisees, Jesus wants to highlight its implications. That's why He once again gathered yung crowd after yung conversation sa mga religious leaders. He gathered the crowd to Himself and explained to them the heart issue of what makes a person unclean, which is your number three and last. The core issue of man's defilement. Let's read verse 14 hanggang 15. And He called the people to Him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." Mahalata po natin na napakahalaga ng naisabihin ni Jesus sa mga tao dito. Pansinin po niyo sa verse 14. Unang-una, tinawag niya ang mga tao to come to Him. Second, He urged them na pakinggan ang Kanyang sasabihin. So we see yung emphasis na binibigay ni Jesus Christ dito. In short, pinapaliwanag niya sa mga tao na ang paniniwala ng mga Pharisees na mali, na sa pagkain daw ng pinagbabawal na pagkain, ay magiging madumi daw ang tao. Ngunit ang sinasabi ni Jesus ay kabaliktaran ito. Ang dumi ay nanggagaling sa loob ng tao and contaminate things from the outside. Sa lahat ng tao na dapat paniwalaan ito, dapat po yun yung mga disciples ni Jesus Christ. Dapat naunawaan nila yan by this time. Pero ito yung verse 17 to 23. And when He had entered the house and left the people, His disciples asked Him about the parable. And He said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach and is expelled?" Thus He declared all foods clean. Sa tagal-tagal na kasama ng mga disciples si Jesus, hanggang ngayon po hindi pa rin nila naunawaan yung mga katuruan niya, which is amazing. Kaya medyo na frustrate si Jesus dito nang sinabi niya, "Are you also without understanding?" Now, hindi ibig sabihin na madalas nila kasama si Jesus ay naiintindihan nila si Jesus. Clearly, hindi nila nauunawaan ito. Actually, nung panahon ng Pentecost, dun lang po nila naintindihan ang lahat ng katuruan ni Jesus. Tapos ito pa nakakamangha sa verse 19, nagpasabog ulit si Jesus ng isang malaking statement. Ano yung statement na pinasabog niya? "Thus He declared all foods clean. Now, this is huge. This is huge. Mabigat ang statement na ito. Jesus was taking down an Old Testament boundary. A huge Old Testament boundary. Remember, God's people are marked off by what they ate and what they did not eat. Yun po yung nagmamark off sa kanila sa mga nations. Ang Pentateuch consistently mentions that the dietary laws, including yung feasts, circumcision, are to mark the Israelites off to the rest of the nations. Jesus gave this statement kasi now the kingdom of God is entering at ang mga regulations na luma na to ay dahan-dahan ang nawawala. Because God's people are going global. Hindi na po ito one ethnic nationality identity lang, which is yung Israelites. Ang religion sa Old Testament ay come and see the Holy God through the people Israel. Ang New Testament religion is go and tell the people about the King who has arrived. It's a message of repentance and belief. Friends, we are not defiled by outward stains, but an inward stain. Kung tayo po ay nadudumihan ng outward stains, then madali lang po resolbahan yan. Gumawa lang tayo ng kabutihan. Mag-pray ka lang lagi, mag-fast, tumulong sa mahihirap, magbigay po ng iyong offerings. Yun lang eh. Maglingkod, maging pastor. Lahat ng mga yan, gawin mo kung yun lang po ang paraan. Kung outward lang gumawa lang tayo ng kabutihan. Ang sinasabi ni Jesus, mas malalim pa ang problema kaysa sa outward. The problem is not outward actually, it's inward. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Sabi sa verse 20 to 23. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. Kung titignan po natin yung listahan dito, sa mga nabanggit dito, ito mga katangian na ito siguro parang papasok sa ating isipan, eh siguro ito yung mga tao na nasa loob ng piitan. Actually po, hindi. Kung yan po ang inaakala po natin, hindi nagkakamali po tayo. Lahat ng mga katangian na nakalista po dito sa verses 20 hanggang 23 ay likas na nasa puso lahat ng tao. Ay likas na nasa puso natin. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Sabi ni John Calvin, the human heart is a factory of idols. Every one of us is, from his mother's womb, expert in inventing idols. Friends, like the Pharisees, lahat tayo ay legalistic, hypocrites, pretenders, law violators, self-worshippers. Ang puso natin ay hindi nababahira ng kasamaan. Ang puso po natin ay pinagmumulan ng kasalanan. Dahil likas itong madumi. Punong-puno ng kasamaan. Ito po ang dahilan kaya hindi natin kailangan turuan ng mga bata magsinungaling, magnakaw, manakit, maging madamot, maging makasarili at magmanipula. Hindi natin tinuruan ng mga batang ganyan. Likas na po na makasalanan bata pa lang. Likas na po makasalanan upon conception even. Likas na maitim ang ating budhi. At dahil po dyan, galit ang banal na Diyos. At nananatili siyang galit sa atin at haharap tayo sa eternal na kaparusahan. Dahil ang Diyos ay banal, hindi pwedeng konsintihin ang kasalanan kung hindi kailangan parusahan. Ngunit dahil sa pag-ibig at habag ng Diyos, Ama, pinadala niya ang kanyang bugtong na anak na si Jesus. Jesus came to save the hypocrites, the pretenders, the self-righteous, the legalistic, the immoral people. Immoral people like you and me. Upang masatisfy ang galit ng Panginoon sa kasalanan, Jesus died on that cross in our place as a payment of our sins, was buried, and on the third day has been risen from the grave. proving that God's wrath was satisfied, that sin, Satan, and death were defeated, at tayo mga hipokrito, self-righteous, legalistic, and immoral na tao ay may pag-asa, may pag-asang malinis, may pag-asa na mabago, may pag-asa na mabuhay, na magkaroon ng buhay na walang hanggan. Anyone who repents from their hypocrisy, anyone who repents from their self-worship, self-reliance, and turns to Jesus, trusting Him, putting our faith in the finished work that He has done on that cross para sa ating kasalanan, will have eternal life, will be cleansed from their sins. Friends, sa mundo na ito, dalawang klase lang po ang reliyon. The religion of do and the religion of done. The religion of do represents lahat ng mga religion sa mundo. Do this, do that, gawin mo to, then God will be pleased sa you and you will enter eternity. But true biblical Christianity would say it is a religion of done. It's done. Why? Because Jesus on that cross paid it all. That's why Jesus said on that cross, it is finished. He had paid our sins in full. We are cleansed and bought by the blood of Jesus. And as for those who are bought and cleansed by the blood of Christ, we are now not our own. We now have a new life, a new purpose, and that is to give glory to God the Father. And the good news is, yung ating good works, ang ating good deeds, ngayon na tayo anak ng Diyos, are no longer filthy rags sa harapan ng Diyos Ama, but is pleased every time we do everything in Jesus' name. Because God, by His grace, has transformed our hearts of stone to a heart of flesh. Be reminded that the heart of our problem is the problem of our hearts. Our hearts are unclean. Only Jesus can make us clean. Let us pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus, who became a sacrifice for our sins. Through His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, through the finished work of Christ on the cross, we have been cleansed from our sins. Thank you for drawing us to yourself in a saving way. We pray for friends who are hearing this sermon that probably have no relationship with you. I pray that you would give them that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you would save them. Pray for brothers and sisters who are here, who are persevering, who are running the Christian race. I pray that you would cause them to persevere, that you would give them joy in their hearts to fight sin well and to give you honor and glory to the watching world as an evidence that you are the God who indeed cleans hearts and transforms lives for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.